Alasya chakatim rodram. Viparyas tartu dharmina. Hapiyasi nirnam vartam. Krodha lobhanritatmanam.
Fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When civilization is disconnected from the loving relationship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, symptoms like changes of seasonal regulations, foul means of livelihood, greed, anger, and fraudulence become rampant. The change of seasonal regulations refers to one season's atmosphere becoming manifest in another season. For example, the rainy seasons being transferred to autumn, or the fructification of fruits and flowers from one season in another season. A godless man is invariably greedy, angry, and fraudulent. Such a man can earn his livelihood by any means, black or white. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, all the above symptoms were conspicuous by their absence. But Maharaj Yudhisthira was astonished to experience even a slight change in the godly atmosphere of his kingdom. And at once he suspected the disappearance of the Lord. Foul means of livelihood implies deviation from one's occupational duty. There are prescribed duties for everyone, such as the Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. But anyone who deviates from his prescribed duty and declares another duty to be his own is following a foul and improper duty. A man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objection in life, when he thinks that this earthly life of a few years is all in all. Ignorance is the cause of all anomalies in human society. And to remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. The question of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become greedy, angry, and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. This chapter is entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. Arjuna, the dear friend and devotee of Lord Sri Krishna, feeling great separation from the personal association of the Lord, had left Hastinapur to go to the holy city of Dwarka to serve the Lord there. But while he had been gone, 7 months passed, and Maharaj Yudhisthira was thinking, where has he gone? And now we find what type of symptoms of irreligion are beginning to manifest within the world, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who appeared in Mathura as the son of Devaki and Vasudev to establish religious principles, to protect the pious, and to annihilate the miscreants. He closed the last chapter of his earthly lila and had returned to the spiritual world. Wherever there is Krishna consciousness, there is all auspiciousness. Wherever there is not Krishna consciousness, there can be no auspiciousness. There is a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in which Srila Prabhupada often quoted that one who is a devotee of Krishna has all the qualities of the God himself, the demigods, and all the great beings. But one who is not a devotee of Krishna can have no good qualities, because his whole life is based not on truth, but on mental speculation, concoction. Because whenever we are remembering Krishna, whenever we are serving Krishna, we can understand that Krishna reciprocates by being present in that place. Krishna is non-different than his name. Krishna is non-different than the process of devotional service. Wherever devotees are chanting his names, remembering him, Krishna is there. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. Lord Sri Krishna explains that wherever my devotees are chanting my names and my glories, I am present in that place. And Krishna is the embodiment of everything auspicious. Krishna suryasam mayahaya andhakar. That Krishna is like the light of the sun, and maya is like darkness. Wherever there is Krishna, there can be no ignorance, there can be no darkness. And wherever Krishna is not being remembered and glorified, there can only be ignorance and darkness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a beautiful song where he explains how the so-called education of modern civilization is nothing but a sophisticated form of ignorance. Because there is not the remembrance of Krishna, there is not the glorification of Krishna, there is not the propagation of service to Krishna, it can be nothing but darkness. Krishna is the only light. Krishna is the only relief, the only shelter. And devotees have this faith. They do not resort to putting faith in anything or anyone except Krishna and those things in relationship to Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained in this way that in this world there is only one problem, and that is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And there is only one solution to this problem, and that is the propagation of Krishna consciousness. When His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada first met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati at 1 Ultadanga Junction Road in Calcutta, this was the message that he received from his Guru Maharaj. At that time, Srila Prabhupada, in great humility, explained how he was propagating the idea of Gandhiji. And when he bowed down to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Siddhanta saw that this was his eternal associate. He understood that this was the person who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had sent to spread the glories of the holy name in every town and village throughout the world. And therefore, before Srila Prabhupada even got up from his obeisance, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave him his lifelong mission. Take the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the English language throughout the world. And in this wonderful lila, Srila Prabhupada presented the idea of so many noble and pious thinkers in India, that yes, religion is very good, but until we gain the dignity of our nation by having independence from the British, who will listen? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati explained that there is only one problem and there is only one solution. We must spread Krishna consciousness. This material world, there are always so many changes, so many transformations. They are not important. They are not relevant. Krishna consciousness is the absolute necessity of every soul, and it must be brought to the world now. Srila Prabhupada, in his great, great humility, explains how he was so much happy to be defeated by his Guru Maharaj. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted defeat from his Guru Maharaj, Srila Ishwarapuri. It is described that once Ishwarapuri asked Nimai Pandit, "Please help to edit my book." It was called Krishna Lilamrita. And Lord Chaitanya said, "How can I correct your book? You are a pure devotee of Krishna. Anything a pure devotee speaks is perfect. Even if to the material eyes it appears that there is some imperfection, it is perfect because it is pleasing to Krishna. And anyone who questions the perfection of the devotional service of a pure devotee commits great offense. How can I edit your book?" "No, no, you are a great scholar. I request you to find if there is some corrections to be made." So one day he said, "Actually, this word that you have used is not the proper word." So Ishwarapuri was silent. That night he contemplated. The next day, when Lord Chaitanya appeared, he said, "Actually, it is the right word. You are wrong." And Lord Chaitanya was very happy that he was defeated by his guru. So this is the nature of true Vaishnavas. The Supreme Lord loves to accept defeat at the hands of his devotees. And the disciple loves to accept defeat below the feet of his guru. This, we are celebrating the month of Kartik, where we sing every morning how Krishna, the Parabrahman, who defeated Indra and Brahma and Shiva, who defeated the biggest, most terrible asuras, he was defeated by that Braja Gopi of the name Yashoda. Krishna takes great pleasure to be defeated by the love of his devotee. So in this way, from the very beginning of Srila Prabhupada's service to his Guru Maharaj, this point was most prominent, that there is only one problem in this world, and that is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And in our daily lives, we must remember this principle, because this material energy, Maya, is always trying to bewilder and delude us to think that there is some other problem. And we are making so many plans, so many arrangements to try to solve the problems of our life. But unfortunately, Srila Prabhupada explains, it is like dealing with the symptoms of a disease and not concerning oneself with the cause of the disease. Krishna is the source of all bliss. He is Satchit Ananda. Wherever he is manifesting himself is the place of all bliss. In fact, in the Vishnu Purana, it explains the greatest misfortune in all of the entire creation is to forget Krishna for one moment. And the greatest fortune is to remember Krishna with love. And that is why we require a society of sincere devotees to help to create that Vaikuntha atmosphere where we can always remember Krishna, where we could always seek to solve the problems of the world through Krishna consciousness. Here we find that when Krishna left this planet, Kali Yuga made its entrance. The symptoms of Kali cannot stand before Krishna. But where Krishna is not prominent in our lives, all there is ignorance of Kali Yuga. There can be nothing else. So here we find Maharaj Yudhisthira, what he is seeing. He is seeing that there are seasonal irregularities. Here in Bombay, we are seeing when it is time for the rainy seasons, there is a drought. When it is time for everything to begin to grow after the rainy seasons, there's pouring rains. One time at Raghunath Prabhu's house in the month of January, it started pouring rain as we were having kirtan. And in this way, there are so many calamities. America is the wealthiest country in the world, it is believed. But just last year, there was a drought in the West Coast. And that drought was so terrible that the price of so much of the percentage of fruits and vegetables comes from that area. They didn't know what to do. Without rain, nothing will grow. There was a great shortage in the nation. Prices were zooming high. And what could the government or anyone do about it? So many terrible situations. Floods. Terrible floods. Fires. Here in Bombay, a couple years ago, terrible earthquakes. And so much deceit. Fraudulent behavior amongst human beings. These are all rampant when there is not Krishna consciousness. So Yudhisthira was saying, as soon as Krishna leaves, all these black, dark situations which are causes of so much miseries begin to appear. In fact, it is explained that he saw that the direction of eternal time had changed. Eternal time is Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that he is time. Ye yatham am prapadyante tam stathaiva bhajamyaham. And Krishna appears according to how we approach him. For a devotee who is always in the presence of Krishna, who is always associating with Krishna by hearing, chanting his glories, for such a person, eternal time is moment by moment bringing him closer to higher and higher intensities of devotion, closer and closer to God. But for one who is not a devotee, eternal time is simply bringing him moment to moment closer to pain, old age, disease, and death. It is explained here how without Krishna consciousness people become so uncivilized. The next verse I would just like to read. It is so important. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends. And in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. Srila Prabhupada explained the further west we go, the less Krishna consciousness there is. Like this? The more materialistic people are. Where there is Krishna consciousness, there is satisfaction. Where there is satisfaction, there is detachment from material desire. But when there is not Krishna consciousness, to that degree, people become more and more and more materialistic. So we see in the Western world, and as it is quickly spreading to the East as well, how often do people remain friends? It is very rare to find close friends who could stay together for more than a few years before becoming enemies, or at least neglectful toward one another. We are always changing our friends because there are so many reasons. We all have our own idea, thinking that I am the Lord of all our we survey. We make friendships in terms not of serving our friends, but enjoying our friends. And in this exploitative consciousness, there will always be conflict. There will always be clashes of ego. And even amongst family members, 66% of marriages are divorce. And that is legal. Besides that, so many others. Nowadays in the West, it has become the fashion to not even get married. It's an unnecessary formality. Because you figure when you become attached to a man or a woman, if we marry, there's at least a 70% chance we're going to get divorced within 3 years. That's the federal statistic, 70% within 3 years. So why bother with the formalities? Then we have to go to courts, and if we want to find somebody else, we have to go through so many legal measures. So let's just forget this formality. It's old-fashioned. It's one of the archaic remnants of a barbaric culture that believes in some higher power called God. So in this way, people just like cats and dogs, because they cannot stay together. What to speak of children in the age where Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj and myself were living in the 50s and 60s. It was almost unheard of for a son or a daughter to stay home with their parents. Huh? They just go out and do what they want. And as soon as they graduate high school, they're gone forever. Yes? No loyalty. No harmony. In fact, there was a war. There was actually a battle between the young generation and the older generation. There was a mantra that all the youth used to chant. Anyone over 30 should not be trusted. Yes, you remember? And we took that very seriously. And of course, that especially means your parents and all of your other relatives. They cannot be trusted. So this is the situation of what happens. So much conflict, so much quarrel. We find in the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira, there was a hierarchy of great kings, and he had so many ministers and so many other great politicians and soldiers. They were all so loyal and obedient to him. But now, look at the politicians here in India, which is actually still surviving more than anywhere else in the world as far as the principles of dharma. The cabinet members of the prime minister are turning against him and trying to destroy him, starting their own parties, revolting against the party that they supposedly dedicated their lives to. Nobody can trust anybody. There's no trust. And therefore there can be no peace. There can be no intimacy. There can be no depths of personal relationships. Why? People don't know. They're going to psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors. For what? Trying to get some relief from all the distrust, hatred, chaos that's all around them. But there's no relief. Because they do not understand the problem. The problem is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And even amongst devotees, sometimes there's quarrel, sometimes there's envy, sometimes there's conflict of egos, sometimes there's anger and suspicion. And we blame so many material factors. But there's only one cause, there's only one problem. It's because you are not Krishna conscious. Because Krishna is not prominent between us. We still have our own personal interests, like the karmis, like the materialists. We are still holding on to our own selfish desires, and that is the cause of all conflict between human beings. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the Upadeshamrita what are the loving exchanges amongst Vaishnavas. And they are all simply based on the principle of exchanging Krishna consciousness. Awareness of Krishna. Mutual service to Krishna. There is a verse in the third canto of Bhagavatam spoken by the Prachetas. It is explained in that verse that whenever the devotees are together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, there can be no enmity. There could be no envy amongst them. But as soon as the subject changes, the Prachetas says, immediately enmity and envy will come. There's no in between. There's Krishna and there's Maya. Where there's no Krishna, all of the symptoms of strife and quarrel are present in a potential state. At any moment, they will overcome us. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada was so careful to create a society of devotees. And he taught us how to live within this society of devotees, with Krishna always in the center. If we do not have good sadhana, if we are not properly chanting the holy names, if we are not strictly following the four regulative principles, there will be so much conflict between us. And generally we find when people are not anxious to hear about Krishna, follow these principles, chant the holy names according to instructions of Guru, these are the people who there is the most conflict between. We become fault-finding. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, because I am covered with hundreds and thousands of faults myself, therefore I find faults in others. If you are seeing Krishna within yourself, you will see Krishna within others. Jayadvaita Maharaj was explaining how Srila Prabhupada was so strong and critical about anything that was not Krishna conscious. But we should know that we cannot imitate that, because he was not fault-finding. In a mood of pure compassion, he was seeing Krishna within the heart of every living being. And he was seeing these defects within that person's character that was covering Krishna. And like a surgeon, he was trying to remove with compassion that covering of ignorance and forgetfulness and liberate that person's original Krishna consciousness from illusion. Rupa Goswami explains that the symptoms of a pure devotee is he has no tendency to find faults in others. So Srila Prabhupada was never fault-finding. Because fault-finding in the material sense that Rupa Goswami is explaining is to bring someone else down to bring yourself up. To express your own anxieties by somehow or other insulting and assaulting someone else. But in Krishna consciousness, we explain what is truth. We boldly explain what is not truth. We don't have to compromise. But in order to do it properly, we must have very strong sadhana. We must have very, very powerful association by which we can perform all of our activities. We can speak the truth with conviction and compassion. Sometimes devotees, they quote the same things Prabhupada quote, but they have a whole different spirit. They have a selfish, egoistic reason. Not in a mood of service. And therefore, what is the result? Completely different. Because it is not empowered by Krishna. So yes, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to perfectly repeat what he was saying boldly without compromise. But that's not all. He also wanted us to be cultivating the deep realizations of Krishna consciousness through humble service to the Vaishnavas, through regularly chanting 16 rounds, by following the principles, by reading his books every day. In this way, we actually become empowered by Guru and Krishna. So, Krishna consciousness is the only cure for the disease of this material world. And we must know that when Krishna disappears, there is no shelter. In this situation, we find that Krishna disappeared from the world, and all at once, so much problem, so much conflict. And Arjuna was so bereft. Even his mighty Gandiva bow, it didn't work without Krishna. But then, in this chapter, a most glorious message is portrayed. Arjuna was weeping. He was crying. He was in a hopeless state. And what will we do without Krishna? What is the use of living without Krishna? What auspiciousness can be there anywhere without Krishna? And then he began to remember Krishna's words that were spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And just by remembering the Vani, just by remembering the instructions of Krishna, Arjuna felt as if Krishna was again standing before him. The presence and the association of the Lord is eternally manifested through the sound vibration of his name and his instructions. Arjuna gained life. He felt the all-auspicious presence of Krishna again. When we read the Bhagavad Gita, when we speak and discuss, hear this message, when we chant the names of the Lord sincerely, we should know that Krishna is present. That the light of the sun of Krishna's mercy, which is all auspicious, is upon us. Srila Prabhupada explained the two types of association, Vapu and Vani. Of the two, Vapu is glorious, it is wonderful. But it is temporary within this material world. But the Vani is permanent. It is always there. The spiritual master is always present within his instructions. Srila Prabhupada gave this lesson in the very, very early stages of his development of the Krishna consciousness movement. He began center in New York, San Francisco. And then he was leaving for India. He was very sick. Devotees did not know if they would ever see him again. They were weeping and crying at the airlines, at the airport. And Srila Prabhupada told him that you are chanting Hare Krishna and I am chanting Hare Krishna. As long as you are following my instructions in this way, I am always with you. We are always together. Yesterday, Jayadwaita Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj were presenting so many wonderful memories of Srila Prabhupada. You should know, literally and factually, by hearing their stories, you are with Prabhupada. And if you hear with faith, you are with Prabhupada as much as they were 20 years ago, 26 Second Avenue. Because these sound vibrations are transcendental. And Srila Prabhupada and Krishna live in the transcendental sound vibration of their pastimes and their instructions. In fact, there were people present at 26 Second Avenue who personally witnessed those pastimes, and certainly they are very fortunate. But due to certain conditionings and certain negligence in their willingness to follow Srila Prabhupada, they really couldn't appreciate it. And today, they may be engaged in so many material activities. Factually, even 25 years later, when you are hearing the wonderful stories Jayadwaita Maharaj is speaking, you are more with Srila Prabhupada than they were 25 years ago sitting right next to him. Would you agree, Maharaj? Because you have accepted the Vani with faith. They accepted the Vapu with not so much faith. Srila Prabhupada would say, there is never a moment that he is not with his Guru Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada, because in his life, for many years, he was performing the duties of a grihastha, he did not associate with his guru personally, physically, as much as many of his godbrothers. He wrote one letter to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Most of my godbrothers are sannyasis and brahmacharis. They are with you so much. I cannot be with you so much. Physically. But Srila Prabhupada said there is not a moment that he is not with his Guru Maharaj. Because he is always remembering his Guru's mercy. He is always remembering his instructions. And he is always surrendering to those instructions. And that is the highest and purest and the most potent form of association. Srila Prabhupada is in his books. Srila Prabhupada is wherever we are following his teachings, he is personally present. And wherever there is Guru Maharaj, we should know there is also Krishna. And wherever there is Krishna, there is victory, there is morality, there is supreme glory. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is all auspiciousness. Similarly, wherever we are remembering Krishna and his pure devotees, there is all auspiciousness. Nothing inauspicious can be. Even if it is all around us, inauspiciousness. If our hearts are always remembering the words of Guru and Krishna, our consciousness is like a lotus flower, a lotus leaf. cannot be touched by the inauspiciousness of this world. And similarly, our relationships with one another cannot be touched by the inauspiciousness of this world if we are always remembering the teachings of Guru Maharaj. If we are always immersed in following the instructions Srila Prabhupada has given us, and always remembering Krishna by chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Would you like to add anything, Maharaj? Something? Give microphone to it.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Is there any questions?
Every day is a different day for all of us. Sometimes we find that we have to encounter so many problems in our life. Sometimes it so happens that the whole day goes off so easily, smoothly. And even at times we sometimes are bewildered by the things going on. The simplest of things becomes very difficult for us. And lots of doubts, questions are raised in our minds as to what's happening with us. So what I want to ask you is that, is the defect lying within us that we are very much lax in our sadhana? Or is it because we are committing offenses to the devotees? Where does the defect lie?
The nature of this material world is there is endless difficulties. There should be no surprise that difficulties and problems come. But those are on a relative platform. If we are Krishna conscious, then even those difficulties, obstacles, and problems only help us to increase and improve our own Krishna consciousness. Krishna, for a sincere devotee, Krishna sends or allows certain difficulties to come into our lives as an opportunity to make greater spiritual advancement. And if we have good sadhana and nice association, we are able to understand and perceive that every situation of life is an opportunity to improve our devotional qualities and improve our service to our Guru and the Vaishnavas. But if we are not hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and sincerely, if we are not chanting the holy names attentively, if we are not keeping good association, then those same problems, which are actually an impetus for higher realms of consciousness, we see them simply as disturbances. And in this way, we lose the opportunity that Krishna is arranging through the circumstance that we're in. So we should not be afraid when difficulties come upon us. We should be excited and enthusiastic to meet the challenge in Krishna consciousness. But to have that strength and to have that vision, we must have good bhajan. We must have good association. That is of utmost importance. One time in New York, when I first came to New York, I came from India back to America. It was in 1972, and it was July. I visited my parents after many years of being far away. And I had gone to the temple in Miami. My parents were living there at the time. And I was there for 2 days or so, and they told me that Srila Prabhupada was coming to New York. So I told my parents I'm going to see my Guru Maharaj. I never came back after that either. So I asked the devotees, you're going to New York? They said, no, no. We are too busy here, we cannot go. Miami to New York. And when I got there, what was I going on? Jayadvaita Maharaj was giving class. Prabhupada wasn't giving class. So I remember one morning during Srimad Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada was preaching very strongly. He was explaining how he had given so much of his life's energy to write these books. And he said, you are out every day and you are distributing these books, but do you read these books? He said, I have written these books primarily for my disciples to read. If you go out to sell these books and someone asks, what is it about? Can you explain what is this book? What will you tell them? That, no, I don't read these books, I only sell them. Who will take you seriously? If you really want to sell these books, distribute these books, you have to read them and you have to be convinced of the content. Srila Prabhupada dedicated, when we were all sleeping after hard day's work, Srila Prabhupada was translating after harder day's work of service. Because if we regularly study these scriptures, then we will always be fresh with spiritual vision. And if we discuss them amongst ourselves and follow them, then any situation that comes, we will be able to welcome it as an opportunity for devotional service. We have seen some of our God brothers and God sisters, they became inflicted with terrible terminal diseases, Jayananda and others. And when they were diagnosed that they were going to die within a short time, their body racked with pain, deteriorating terribly, they became enlivened. Of course, they wanted to do as much service as they could, but at the same time, they welcomed it as an opportunity. Krishna would not allow this to happen unless this was an opportunity and a facility to improve my service to my Guru and Krishna. Because they had strong sadhana, because they had good association, because their minds were fixed in the message of Bhagavad and Gita. And through the situation where most people lose their faith in God, in that same situation they became so pure and perfect, it was the means by which they went back to Godhead. Are there any other questions?
Maharaj, this is a technical question I was asked in another class which I could not answer. One devotee asked me that there are four paramparas coming from Lord Brahma, the four Kumaras, Rudra and Lakshmi. So Lord Brahma is giving knowledge to Narada, Narada to Vyasa, this one parampara. So the Kumaras, they are sons of Lord Brahma. So do they not receive knowledge from Lord Brahma, or is it that they are getting separately?
In this instance, they have received knowledge directly from Narayan in this parampara. Yes?
Yeah.
When Brahma told them to marry, they disobeyed Brahma. They had a higher purpose. But these paramparas are coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Maharaj, you are saying that in every situation we should see it as a positive. I think Krishna has some good in it, ultimately. So I was just thinking about our visit to Jaipur, and how when we see that such a beautiful, magnificent temple like Rupa Goswami's Radha Govind Mandir was smashed to pieces in such a big way. So much opulence of the Lord of Radha Vinod and Gopinath was stolen away by the government. And so much of damage was done in the name of religion. It sometimes brings some sort of a thing that how Krishna sanctioned all these very demonic personalities to do such a thing. And to the extent that now it is reduced to such a low level of existence now. It is very... What is the good that came out of sanctioning such an assault?
In Kali Yuga, especially, there are so many demoniac personalities. And Krishna facilitates those demoniac personalities also. Even at the time of Hiranyakashipu, Krishna facilitated him for some time to try to fulfill his material ambitions, and how much he persecuted and how much he tortured so many living beings, even Brahmins and devotees. But you see, even though Krishna may be temporarily fulfilling their desires in this age of Kali and letting them reign in prominence over the society, still, whatever happens to the devotees, if they take it in the proper spirit that we are discussing, they progress, they make great spiritual advancement. Their life becomes more and more and more auspicious. You cannot see everything by how it appears with your eyes. We have to see through the eyes of Scripture. Even if devotees are killed by the demons, if they remember Krishna, what is the harm? They go back to Godhead. They're relieved of living in this terrible place of Kali Yuga, and they go back to Godhead. So have they lost anything? Even if they have to suffer, if they're seeing in the proper vision, that suffering is bringing them, is intensifying their remembrance of Krishna, intensifying their willingness to take shelter of Krishna. So can demons do anything to a sincere devotee except increase their Krishna consciousness? They have no power to do anything but increase our Krishna consciousness if we're sincere. And that's good. We are not attached to the world. We are attached to Krishna. Would you like to say any? Why you're so quiet? Yes?
I have a question regarding chanting.
Huh?
I have a question regarding chanting. Sometimes during our chanting, we see that we have positive distraction. We get thoughts about our services, and we have so many plans about our services. And my first question is such a positive distraction considered to be a remembrance of Krishna? And is such a positive distraction about our services considered to be a remembrance of Krishna?
Distraction about your service?
Yeah.
Thinking
during
about
chanting, yeah.
Thinking about your devotional service. Certainly, it is remembered. If you are thinking of serving Krishna, you are thinking of Krishna.
During chanting.
Yes, but at the same time, we should know that we follow certain principles in which we have certain services at certain times. Huh? Eating Eating prasad is also service to Krishna. But when you're dressing the deities, you don't start eating prasad. Eating ladus with one hand and dressing Krishna with the other hand. You may say, well, this is also Krishna. This is also devotional service. But at a certain time you dress the deities, at a certain time you eat prasad. Yes? So yes, thinking of devotional service is thinking of Krishna. But while chanting, you are supposed to be thinking of Krishna's name only. You are supposed to be trying to keep your mind completely immersed in Krishna's name during the time of chanting. And after the chanting, then you are supposed to keep your mind completely occupied in these other activities of devotional service. This is the recommended process we try to follow.
Maharaj, if a devotee commits offenses and it has effects on the guru, suppose the guru is not in this world, in this material world, does it still have effects on the guru?
You should understand that the guru's compassion, the guru's mercy is beyond your power to reason with your material intelligence. That out of love and compassion, he remains always with us in great concern. And when we do something that is proper in Krishna consciousness, when we are engaging in the process of surrendering nicely, that gives our guru pleasure wherever he may be. Srila Prabhupada is no longer physically in this world. But do you think these great devotees would not be surrendering their lives to such wonderful extents if they didn't think that they were directly and personally pleasing him? And how much, there's no greater heartbreak that could ever inflict our lives than the thought that we are displeasing him. So yes, through Krishna, through the Paramatma, the spiritual master has access wherever he may be physically. He is always with us.
What I was trying to also ask is that suppose we are creating offenses, does it affect him in a negative way? If he is, whether he's here or he's not here, or he, everything is, because he is associated with Krishna,
eternally. You have to understand that his being affected is not like you're being affected. We are being affected by problems because we are under the modes of material nature. He is above the modes of material nature. But due to his compassion, he is extending himself to feel pleasure and pain according to how you are advancing in Krishna consciousness. If we make offenses, the spiritual master, out of his compassion, out of his love, he suffers in the sense that he sees that you are spoiling your chances to be with Krishna. And that causes him pain. And that pain is transcendental. It is out of spiritual love for your soul. So we should not cause Guru that pain. And when he sees we're coming closer to Krishna, there's no greater bliss.
in terms of the spiritual master's feeling, what you said is there. In terms of some reaction in the material world, the reaction will be that it will become known that the spiritual master has a rascal disciple like you. So his reputation is affected.
In Srimad Bhagavatam 1 purport, Prabhupada explains, it's in the story of Jai and Vijay being cursed by the Kumaras. He explains that whatever malpractice, whatever sinful activities is performed by a disciple, it is seen by the world as a blemish upon the spiritual master. Lord Vishnu himself, he said, because Jai and Vijay are my servants, whatever they have done are scars on my body. That's how they will be seen by the world. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explained that if you love your guru, you will not want to discredit him in the eyes of the world. You will want to glorify him in the eyes of the world. And if we misbehave, we discredit him. Because people, as Jayadvaita Maharaj was thinking, people will see the guru in you. This is the type of disciples he has? What is the use of such a guru? But if you act very properly, it will bring glory. Oh, this is the type of disciples. What a great guru he must be. So the expression of our love is we will never behave in any way that will bring blemish to the image of our guru. Even if we want to so much, we will not do it because we love our spiritual master. We want to show our love. That sacrifice is real love. I'll never forget at New Vrindavan in 1976, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what if after taking initiation, one falls down? Srila Prabhupada became so angry. He said, what is this nonsense, fall down after initiation? What is this nonsense? Impossible. How can you do such a thing? You have taken a vow before the deities, you have taken a vow before the spiritual master, you have taken a vow before the sacred fire, you have taken a vow before all the assembled Vaishnavas. What is the question of falling down after taking these vows? He said, no gentleman will ever break such vows. He wouldn't even hear the idea that someone would do such a thing. And as we were speaking, we could understand what it really means to show our love. Doesn't mean just writing a nice letter or speaking some nice words. That's not real glorification. Real glorification is to live in such a way that people will think that this person's guru is great. It is not something cheap. Krishna consciousness is something very real. So at this time, Sanat Kumar Prabhu wants to begin to construct the mountains for Govardhan Puja. So we should end class at this time. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.